Hi everyone, welcome to the third session of day two of State of the Map 2020 online conference and of the academic track. In case you didn't join the first two sessions of the academic track, so this is a track dedicated to academic research about and with OpenStreetMap. It's the third edition of the track. We had two successful ones over the last two State of the Maps, and now we have the first virtual one. So if you want to know more about academic activity with OpenStreetMap, you're welcome to join the OSM Science mailing list. Also, if you want to know more about the talks that are included in the tracks today, you can go to our proceedings collection, which includes extended abstracts describing each talk. It's available open access on Zenodo. Just Google State of the Map 2020 proceedings and you'll get there. And you can read about each talk that we had if you missed it, if you want to know about a bit more. If that's your first State of the Map session, I'll briefly talk about how this works. I'll start with introducing our speaker in a minute. Then we'll watch together the talk, and afterwards we'll have a Q&A session. So if you want to post questions during the talk, you need to go to the session pad. So just go to the State of the Map website, click on the program, scroll down to the talk you are interested in this case, this one, Towards Understanding the Quality of OpenStreetMap Contributions, Result of an Intrinsic Quality Assessment of Data for Mozambique. Click on it, and on the left-hand side, you will have the link to the session pad where you can add any question you want or comments. Please add your names so we can, it's more polite. With that, we can move to introducing our speaker. So our speaker is Apiwe. She's a final year master's student at the University of Pretoria. Her fascination for both geography and information technologies led to her pursuing a career in geospatial big data science. As a data scientist, she gets to incorporate into her work and studies her passion for geography and the world around her and the analysis of large amounts of data in order to extract knowledge and insights. And as we've seen, she's going to talk about mappers' behavior today and how we can use that to assess the quality of data. So let's hear all about it.
Good day. My name is Apiwe Madubedube. I am a master's student at the University of Pretoria. And today I will be speaking about my research project, which focuses on understanding the quality of OpenStreetMap contributions in Mozambique through an intrinsic quality assessment approach. Projects such as OpenStreetMap have made it possible for anyone to contribute geographic information, regardless of their level of expertise or skills. Since the task of creating geographic information is no longer exclusively performed by trained professionals, data quality can be a concern and has often been cited as a hindrance when it comes to the use of this type of data. However, data generated through crowdsourcing projects such as OpenStreetMap can be a valuable resource for various applications, and it can help to fill data gaps. OpenStreetMap data has showcased its importance for various use cases, such as in the case of disaster scenarios, to aid with disaster management and emergency response, and even with mapping vulnerable communities. And in developing countries where spatial data is not always available in some areas, crowdsourced geospatial data can be an essential resource. Therefore, this kind of geospatial data has showcased its importance, especially in the case of developing countries and helping to fill data gaps. For example, the value of OpenStreetMap data was recently witnessed in the case of Mozambique, a country in southern Africa, which was devastated by cyclones Idai and Kenneth in early 2019. Mozambique then received a significant amount of attention in the OSM community following the floods and damages that were caused by these cyclones. OSM volunteers banded together to generate data that would assist to satisfy the informational needs of disaster relief services. OSM data quality has been the focus of many research projects. More and more studies have worked on gaining a better understanding of the quality of the data produced by OSM contributors. And this has mostly been done by comparing OSM data with reference data sets. This is often referred to as extrinsic quality assessment. However, this approach of using external data is not always possible due to limitations that are associated with the acquisition and use of reference data sets. These limitations relating to the use of reference data are especially applicable in the case of developing countries, as developing countries are often faced with a lack of spatial data due to various economical as well as technological constraints. So in the current study, we decided to use an intrinsic approach in order to assess OSM data. We examined history data in order to determine how contributors have contributed over time in Mozambique. We believe that knowledge about the contribution characteristics of a community could provide a better understanding of the data that is contributed in that area and help to build insight about data quality. So we essentially want to know how this type of analysis could help with better understanding the state of OSM data in Mozambique. So the task of characterizing OSM contributors consisted of three steps. First, OSM history data was downloaded and used to extract information about individual contributors. Next, this information was used to classify contributors through cluster analysis. And based on this cluster solution, OSM contributors were then characterized. So, OSM history data provides a record of all edits or changes that have been performed on OSM by contributors. These edits result in an increment in a feature's version number. Each version of a feature is associated with a contributor or a user, as it is referred to in the OSM metadata. And here we have an example of the history records for a node with three versions. It has been edited by three unique contributors, as can be seen by the user IDs. So this kind of history information can be used to create contributor-focused data, which would describe the actions of each individual contributor. As we can see here, an example of this contributor-focused information, which describes how someone has contributed over time, is witnessed. For example, here we see three unique contributors and their contribution attributes, such as the date of their first contribution, their latest contribution, on how many days they made contributions within this time span, and the total number of their contributions. So other attributes were also determined as well for each contributor. For example, of the total number of contributions, how many were node contributions, how many were relation contributions, how many were weight contributions, and how many were creations, modifications, or deletions. And another example would be the number of contributions where the user was the last contributor, meaning they were associated with the very last version of an OSM feature. And this analysis resulted in a little over 10,000 unique contributors for Mozambique. So this contributor-focused information was then used for the clustering process. The particular algorithm used was K-means. K-means clustering is a method that groups a set of data points into a K number of clusters based on their attributes. The K-means clustering algorithm requires that the number of clusters be specified prior to clustering, and this can be done in a number of ways. For this study, we used the ALGO method, and based on this method, four clusters were determined to be the optimal number of clusters for the contributor-focused data in Mozambique. This method uses the within-cluster sum of squares, or the distance between points in a cluster, to determine an optimal number of clusters for the data set. But before contributors could be classified, or before this contributor data could be used for cluster analysis, some data pre-processing was necessary. First, feature scaling was applied. Feature scaling is the process of normalizing the data in order to ensure attributes are on the same scale. This was done because K-means is a distance-based machine learning algorithm, which means it can be affected by scale. And the second form of pre-processing was principal component analysis, which is a dimensionality reduction technique. Dimensionality reduction was applied to help make the interpretation of and visualization of the results simpler and to reduce the computation time of clustering. So an iterative process was used in order to determine how many principal components would be beneficial for the clustering algorithm. Various principal component solutions were used for cluster analysis, and then they were visualized, as can be seen in the in this image. As we can see from the very first image, the first three principal components help the clustering algorithm to differentiate between the four clusters. So the first three principal components provide information that helps differentiate between the clusters. However, as we added more principal components, they did not provide much information that helped with differentiating between clusters. So ultimately, a three principal component solution was chosen to describe the contribution attributes for each user. These principal component values were then used for the clustering process. This table summarizes the final cluster solution and displays the number of contributors that are associated with each cluster. So the K-means clustering algorithm classified each contributor into one of four clusters based on three principal component values that were used to explain each contributor. So the clustering algorithm divided the contributors in Mozambique into four groups based on how they had essentially contributed over time in the area. So we went back to the original dataset of attributes, and in order to better understand the clusters that had been produced, some statistics were then calculated. So the average number of mapping days, change sets, as well as total contributions were determined for each cluster. And from these results, we can see that cluster 4 is the easiest to pick out, as it has the highest averages. So we can immediately see that this cluster represents the most active contributors. So this was essentially the easiest cluster to characterize. Upon further inspection of the data, we came to the following conclusions about the remaining clusters. Cluster 1 appears to mostly consist of contributors that have older contributions and who have not continued to contribute data over time. These contributors have a low number of mapping days as well as a low number of total contributions. So this cluster appears to represent non-recurring contributors. Cluster 2 consists of contributors who have not been very productive during their time on OpenStreetMap. So these contributors mostly have a low number of change sets and total contributions. And even contributors in this cluster with more mapping days do not have many contributions. So the contributors in this cluster appear to be the least productive on average. And we can see this because the average number of change sets as well as the average number of contributions is the lowest for cluster 2. Cluster 3 consists of contributors who have been active recently. So this could represent newcomers perhaps, because these contributors do not have very many mapping days, but they have the second highest number of OSM features where they have been classified as the last contributor. And this is second, of course, to the cluster 4. So cluster 3 and cluster 4 appear to be the clusters that are associated mostly with the latest version of OSM features. So the results appear to show us that most of the work is done by a small percentage of contributors, which is mainly cluster 4. Cluster 4 accounts for about only a quarter of the total contributors, but about 93% of all contributions are associated with this cluster, followed by about 5% of the remaining contributions are associated with contributors from cluster 3, which is the newcomers. This makes up 98% of all contributions, while the remaining clusters, which are cluster 1 and 2, have almost no impact. So these results are in line with the participation inequality that has often been witnessed with OSM communities. We also see that the resulting clusters could have been influenced by the recent disaster mapping efforts. For example, cluster 4, which is the most active set of contributors, does not only have long-term contributors, but they are also contributors with just a few mapping days, but a high number of contributions. This can mostly be seen during the disaster activation mapping period in early 2019. So some contributors have managed to produce thousands of contributions in a short span of time. This pattern is also witnessed with cluster 3, which is the cluster of newcomers and the second most active cluster. This cluster seems to be made up of mostly recent contributors, and some of the contributors in this cluster are most probably a result of the recent activation mapping efforts. What we can also say is that OSM data in Mozambique appears to still be in the early stages of development. Most areas have not been mapped in detail. And so it appears that volunteers have focused on building a base map. So what kind of questions could this type of analysis help us to answer? Well, it could give us information about the progression of OSM data in an area. For example, what kind of contributors have worked on specific OSM features in that area? Is it newcomers or is it experienced contributors? And this could help with identifying areas that might need to be validated or even updated. So it could help with identifying stale data where, for example, the last known contributor was a non-recurring contributor who has not been active for a long time. So, in conclusion, the results of the study show how one can gain a better understanding of the community that tends to contribute by inspecting history data. And this can help with building insight about data quality and help to identify areas that might need data validation. Thank you.
Okay, we're about to go live. Let's for Manfred's hints.
All right.
Okay, so thank you for a very interesting talk. Let's get us some interest in the question pad. So Godwin, please leave the Q&A section.
All right, okay, thank you very much. Yeah, hello everyone, my name is Godwin. And I'm co-chairing this session with Yar, and so I will take over the moderation of the Q&A. I've seen several interesting questions coming up. First of all, thank you very much, Apiwe, for the excellent presentation. And I can see you have had a lot of people have had interest in this study, and I can see about 23 people in attendance. Oh, it was 23, it's now 22. So there are some comments here. I'll start with the comments. From Yagura Station, he says, wow, awesome work. The other says, there's no name here, really interesting analysis based upon the classroom of users. It reflects other studies I have seen from other studies with key contributors adding much data. I have my own questions, but I think depending on time, I will go through the ones on the session part. So there's one from Cameron Green, and he's asking, how would your results differ when compared to other well-mapped areas in Africa, such as Tanzania? And I think this is related to probably in my mind what you talked about in terms of the participation in equality and other aspects. So probably I'll leave it to you, Apiwe, to address this question.
Thank you, Godwin. And first of all, thank you to everyone who actually tuned in and listened. And thanks for the interesting questions. So to get back to this question, I think what is different about what I've witnessed anyway in Mozambique is that most areas have not been mapped in detail, as I said. So it's basically the base map that volunteers have aimed to finish. So as I mentioned, there's only 1 to 2 versions of most features, which I think differs in terms of some other places are better mapped, where there is more detail in other countries or other places. But since we did not perhaps analyze a smaller portion, or maybe where youth mappers or some mappers have been focused in Mozambique, maybe we would have seen a different pattern. But since we took the whole country, I think this just shows that the state of development in terms of mapping is still at quite a new stage.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. I think, yeah, this will set the stage for further comparative studies regarding this question. The next question is about which technique do you think is most useful to help in the intrinsic studies? I think your study was about k-means and others. So I think this guy is pointing to PCA, I think principal component analysis and things like that. What do you think about that?
I think a combination, because I use a combination of them, both principal component analysis as well as k-means clustering, but the PCA was more so to narrow down the variables to their principal components, so it could be easier to understand what each cluster represented. Because if we went with all of the 20 or so variables, it was going to be harder to explain what each of the clusters represented. So I think a combination of actually all the analysis techniques that were used, I think they all played a part in the final results.
Brilliant, thank you very much. Another question from Greg Rose. Was there an effort to plot cluster member mapping against automated error findings such as keep right or osmosis or something like that? I don't know whether you're aware of these terms. and that is to find errors in mapping tied to specific clusters. Anyway, he says, great job. Please address.
No, I don't think the study really actually did that. So, we didn't make an effort to do that.
Yeah, probably a good idea for future work.
Yes, I would say so.
Brilliant. Thanks, Greg, also for the question. The next question is about, I think it's from Adi Orden, one of the previous presenters. Did you try out other clustering methods aside from k-means? Interesting, it's like Adi read my mind because I have this question here. can you explain more about your reasoning for using a parametric based clustering method over a density based clustering method?
I actually did not. We actually didn't try other clustering methods. And honestly, to say it's because k-means was the clustering method that I was most knowledgeable about and familiar with. And since it is such a simple, it's simpler to understand, this is the clustering method I went with. I think it would need a bit more in-depth knowledge to perhaps try other clustering methods.
Oh, brilliant. Thank you very much. And also, I think there's no... thank you, Adi, also for that. The last question on the part is, will you be continuing with this study or is the project now complete?
I think it is... Well, from my side, I would say it's not complete. I think there could be potential for future work, but I'm not sure yet whether I would choose to continue with the study. But I think it has unveiled some interesting things that could be looked at in terms of future work. Because in terms of looking at Mozambique, we say that most of the work is done by the most active contributors. And we assume that these contributors actually contribute good information, but this is mostly based on assumption that other papers have also said that we assume that someone who's experienced has good contributions, but this hypothesis has not been tested. So I think future work could also look in testing. Could we see a difference from data contributions of newcomers versus experienced contributors? And is this actually a valid valid assumption to make? Then this would be it would be more justified to say that experienced contributors actually contribute good information once we've actually looked more into this.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. I think we still have some time, so I will jump into some of the questions I have myself. I think there's another one here on the pad. So that is about special data. It is from Stefan, if you're German. Special data quality has 5 elements according to a certain link. I've not gone there yet, but the question is, on what data quality element are you after? Completeness or something else? Accuracy, positional, thematic accuracies, positional accuracies, all sort of completeness indicators also, and other indicators, so indicators of quality. So which one are you really interested in?
I think that is based on a case-to-case basis. Here we were more so looking at intrinsic quality measures. So those are those quality measures that were just mentioned are more so used when you are using reference data and you using extrinsic or external data to compare what is happening. So I think that is more on a case-to-case basis. If you were to further decide what kind of quality you'd want to assess in Mozambique, then you could choose based on those specific elements. As I said, in future work, if you were to actually assess the data and see does this actually correspond that experienced contributors contribute good information, then you could perhaps start to decide, would we want to look at completeness or would we want to look at thematic accuracy and so forth? But with intrinsic quality assessment, I think it's more of a basic statement. to say we assume because these people are knowledgeable with OpenStreetMap that they know what they're doing.
Excellent. Brilliant. I think the way you put it actually even sparkled another question in my mind. That is about experience. So you said, so I'm thinking about what when you say experienced mappers, what do you have in mind from your study and also generally?
I would say with experienced mappers from my study and in general is people who, first of all, have experience with contributing in general in OSM. So but we only looked at Mozambique, so we can only speak for their contributions in Mozambique. So, for example, people who have at least some practice with contributing, whether it be a week, but it's not a week in terms of they only contributed within 1 week, but their days add up to, let's say, 7 days. Or some people even have 100-something days split that have been split over years, for example. So I think experience is how much you've been practicing and how much you know about contributing towards the OSM project. That is what experience is.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. I have another question here. It was interesting to hear about the concept of participation inequality, and I was wondering, what do you think about what do you think OSM community can do to increase participation?
I think raise awareness as well, perhaps, because I think this is a bit of a tricky question, because this whole participation inequality thing is not only witnessed in Mozambique, but in terms of other online communities as well, where it's mostly up to people, the most interested group, and just a small number of people who are interested in actually furthering the data and contributing. So I think things like trying to reach out to the community and making them understand why this type of mapping is taking place would help sort of reach more people who would perhaps be interested in mapping. But this is also a research question as to why people keep mapping versus why people, some people only map for a few days, maybe even a day, then they decide, hey, I'm done, I'm not going to map anymore. So it, I think that is also a research question of its own as to why are they dedicated mappers versus people who don't continue mapping over time.
Yeah, very interesting. Yeah, you could even look into, you know, the participation as to volunteer participation and then also paid or commercial participation in a way. Anyway, thanks a lot for that. So I have another one here regarding the contribution, the analysis regarding the contributors. So did you consider the time of registration by contributors to join OpenStreetMap?
No, actually. I think since we only looked at data that concerned the Mozambique area, so we looked at how long they've been contributing in that specific area, but we did not look at how long the user has actually been registered, which is, I would say, a weakness of the study, for example, because people who are considered newcomers in Mozambique might not necessarily be newcomers to the OpenStreetMap project. I think that would need analysis of the whole database, which is quite intensive and would need definitely more computing power.
Brilliant. I think in your case, the newcomers was in terms of the mapping days, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. And also how, because local mappers might know more about Mozambique versus people who haven't mapped there before. So you could say they're just newcomers in Mozambique in terms of they've never mapped that area. So they know less, they might know less about it.
I see. Brilliant. I saw also the, I think in terms of the temporal analysis, you looked at, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you looked at 2016 to 2019, right?
Yes.
And I was wondering why this period?
Okay. Well, this is because in terms of the history data has a record of all the contributions that have been made in Mozambique. And the first ever contribution that we could track from the history data was in 2006. So that is how we determined the first date. It's from the first ever contribution. And then 2019, why we decided to, we looked until I think about mid-2019, which is when I extracted the data and started the analysis. So this was also influenced by the recent disaster scenarios that happened, where we wanted to see how this also influences the mapping patterns.
Oh, brilliant. Thank you very much. I have another here. I think I was thinking about the k-means clustering and your definition of distance here. And when you say distance, what do you mean exactly?
As far as I know, k-means clustering uses Euclidean distance.
Brilliant.
If I'm not mistaken, yes.
Okay, brilliant. Thanks a lot. And I was wondering, you know, it's possible also to consider, you know, the network distance, because it's not always the case that, you know, where you have the validated road network, you know, then you could use the distance as an input to the algorithm to sort of compute the clusters. I don't know whether this came to mind or you considered that.
I have to say I did not consider it. I think that would also need more research in terms of figuring out how different distance measures would affect k-means, because Euclidean distance is sort of the default that is used, but I'm not sure whether you can actually choose to use different distance measures. So that would need further research.
Yeah, brilliant. Thanks a lot. I have one last question. I think we don't have any more, so I'll just ask this last question. You're almost there. So the issue is about, I think the general one, which is about your experience about working with history data, OSM history data. What sort of challenges did you find in terms of, you know, extracting it, analyzing it, and to getting the results that you presented nicely to us?
I would say it's definitely a lot of data to work with. So you would need a lot of computing power, because I only worked with Mozambique data. So I can only imagine if you would be tasked with having to work with, for instance, the whole OpenStreetMap database, if you were interested in the whole user, the whole contributing community. So analysis did take quite some time because of how much data was involved.
Okay, brilliant. Thank you very much for this excellent presentation. I've learned a lot, and I hope all of you who are listening have also learned a lot. And thank you all. This will come to a close, and I hope you enjoy the rest of the conference. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, everyone.